Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Tough Talk Christian Radio. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help take you to the next step in your relationship with Christ. Tough Talk Christian Radio is brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Tony Gambone.
All right, welcome to the show. My name is Tony Gambone, and once again, it's Sunday afternoon, and here we are at the Tough Talk Christian Radio Show, brought to you live every week out of Houston, Texas, through the Tough Talk Radio Network. I know it's a big day today. It's Super Bowl Sunday, and it's Church Day, and it's the interview with Jim Lang today, a special friend of ours here at Tough Talk Christian Radio. Oh, it's been a few years that we've been having Jim on the show. He's done a lot of great things across the country with a lot of people, and he's got a new book out. We're real excited about all that, as we are every week. I want to get a little housekeeping out of the way, and we're going to get Jim up here on the show. But in the meantime, let me tell you how you can connect with us. You can go to toughtalkchristianradio.com and register to be a guest on the show if you have something that you want to share that the Lord is doing in your life. You can also go to Tough Talk Radio Network and look at the different shows that are available there if you wanted to be a guest on one of those shows. I want to talk to you a little bit today about the Super Bowl. I was just watching all the pregame stuff, and, you know, I believe it's going to be coming on here in about an hour, hour and a half. But what I've been watching is some of the incredible stories that have been taking place on the shows, on the teams over the years. Now, you know, at the NFL, we get to see a lot of stories that of trouble that people are in. And, you know, we never see the rewarding stories, the stories where guys have made it through the battles, or, you know, good things don't sell in the media like the troubles that people find themselves in. And so I was just watching a couple of the different athletes there that have, well, one was kicked out of college, had drug problems, and fought his way through, and he's still battling his way back. But here he is today on the Super Bowl stage. I mean, how incredible is that? And, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, they give their thanks to the Lord. You know, they leaned in and they grabbed a hold of what they knew was there for them to use, and they ran with it. And they're proof, especially to our younger generations, on how strong your faith can be, and how you can get to where you need to go. No matter what it looks like, no matter what the obstacle is, no matter what the road looks like, no matter how dark it is, no matter how beaten you are or how far back you are behind what you were trying to do, all it takes is faith. And it's easy said, but at the end of the day, what is it that allows you that strength? Is it, I don't know, your upbringing? Is it something your parents drilled in your head? Is it the people you surround yourself with? You know, and who are you surrounding yourself with? And are you getting better at what you're trying to do? And are the people around you holding you back? I know that God has a plan for each one of us, and it's a special plan, and it's an awesome plan. It's just that we have to take time out to reach down and grab a hold of it and make it the number one focus in our lives. And we live in a lot of distractions, and, you know, we're going to be watching the Super Bowl today, and we're going to be seeing all kinds of things, including the crazy commercials. But at the end of the day, have you sat down and give thanks for the gifts that you've received from the Lord? Now, we're all in our own little Super Bowl of life. So I think it's important to recognize the most valuable players in your life, who is leading in the game, what we're doing to score opportunities in our lifetime, what path we stay on to gain access to the one and only. And so there's a lot of things going on, and I know that it's a public pastime. It's one of the biggest events on TV for sports in the country. But every day we're in that same sport. We're in that same opportunity of the biggest event of our lives, and God's a leader of it, and he's there to help us. We just have to recognize the ability that we have to use him. So I hope people will take time out today and recognize that as they see whoever it is, the Kansas City Chiefs or the San Francisco 49ers win the game, or whatever athlete becomes most valuable player. And, you know, it's just an awesome opportunity to be able to see that you are the MVP in your life, in your own Super Bowl. So I hope you'll take time to recognize that and, you know, sit down with your children and explain that to them, and sit down to your spouse and explain that to them. And just, you know, keep the right mindset, right? So it's very easy to get distracted. And if you're not careful, it's just like the commercials that we see on TV. We're looking for the most funniest commercials, okay? But there's more to it than that. There's a message behind everything. So I hope you'll find your message, and I hope you'll find your connection with the Lord, and make sure that you speak your message and live your best ability of talents that God has given you. So as I said, my name is Tony Gambone, and this is Tough Talk Christian Radio, and we're going to talk about the happy wife, the happy life deception. For all you guys out there, happy wife, happy life, right? I always say it didn't work out too well for Adam with Eve, but Mr. Lang has written a book on it, and we're going to talk more about that and see some of the things. I met a gentleman this week who goes to a church that specifically targets men, because men are the leaders of the family, and they need to be leaders, and so their families will follow. And I thought it was a really cool concept of what this church was doing. So maybe this will give you another look at it from another perspective. So we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to bring up Jim Lang. If you want to call into the show, it's 347-989-1363. Press 1 if you want to connect with us to ask the question, or you can just dial in and listen on your phone, plug it into your car. As you're heading to that Super Bowl party, catch all the information here and learn about Jim. And you can also go to toughtalkradionetwork.com and leave us a message. We'd love to know more about you. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we will bring up our first guest. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Do you know a family fighting cancer? The Jest Foundation nonprofit was founded right here in Katy, Texas, by cancer survivor Michelle Perzan, whose vision is to assist those currently fighting by providing grants to help support family needs, whether spiritually, emotionally, or financially. Michelle and her family know all too well that there comes a time when the day-to-day needs we take for granted become impossible. Jest Foundation has been able to bless 100% of the applications submitted, and now they need your help. Find out more by going to JestFoundation.org.
All right. Welcome back to the show. My name is Tony Gambone, and if you just missed the beginning of the show here, we have a special guest today, a gentleman by the name of Jim Lang. He's a graduate of the University of Toledo, and, well, he was a four-year member of the basketball team, so we're speaking about sports events today, and Jim was an athlete in the game as well. So he's been in business for over 30 years, and his life mission is to help people become more of who God made them to be. So without wasting any more time, Jim, welcome to the show.
Tony, thank you so much. It's absolutely great to be with you again, and I remember we had a great time together the last time we talked, and really looking forward to what God has in store today.
Well, I tell you, I'm truly blessed to be able to do this on Sunday afternoons. And there's a lot of times at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday, I'm thinking, oh man, I got to do a show. And when the show starts at 4 o'clock, by 5 o'clock, I'm the happiest guy in the room. So I'm just blessed to be able to have this opportunity. So Jim, tell people a little bit about you, where you're calling in from, where you're from originally.
Well, I'm from the Toledo, Ohio area, Northwest Ohio, and in Buckeye country, and have lived here most of my life, and I work several different hats. I'm primarily a coach for business leaders, as well as we'll talk a little bit about today, I do some coaching with men who find themselves in difficult marriages, and really helping them to be all that God made them to be, and hopefully to restore those marriages. And I lead monthly roundtable groups for Christian business and ministry leaders in our area. We've got six groups that meet once a month for 4 hours. I've been doing that for, I'm in my 12th year of doing that through an organization called Truth at Work, and absolutely get to see miraculous things happen every single month. I feel like the most blessed person on the planet to get to do what I do. And certainly it's busy. Certainly there's heartaches in the midst of all of it, but it is, I truly feel blessed to get to do what I do.
Mm. What is the name of that group that you do that for? I wanted to write that down.
It's Truth at Work. So you could go to truthatwork.org. Yeah, truthatwork.org to learn more about it. But it's an incredible, incredible organization. We have chapters around the country. Toledo was formed in Indianapolis. So Toledo was the first chapter. We're the oldest chapter outside of Indianapolis right now. We've got about 35 chapters around the country right now, and just amazing things are going on there. God's doing some incredible things there.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm always interested in different things like that. I've been blessed to be a part of some men's groups and some of the things that we learned there, and some Christian business groups as well. It's just well, it's just hard to get around like-minded people and stay connected. So I'm going to check that one out.
Just to make you clear, this is for men and women, by the way. So I just want to throw that out there.
And so you've written a number of books, I'm not going to go through all those books, but when I seen Happy Wife, Happy Life, I was thinking, oh, that's a big saying down here in Texas. And before I came here, I never really learned that. And then there's another side of that where I tell people you can be happy or you could be right. Right seems to be overrated. But that's just, and it's just an easy excuse for not having conflict, I guess, with your wife or your spouse.
That's right.
But at the end of the day, as a man, the man of my house, it's my responsibility to lead by example the correct way of doing things. So sometimes it might not be happy wife, happy life, or, you know, you want to be happy or you want to be right. So I want to dig into some of that there. But before we get started, what made you decide to write the book?
Well, it was unfortunately born out of personal experience, and I, about coming up on 4 years ago, got divorced, and after 30 years of marriage, and it was extremely, extremely painful. I am the one who filed for divorce. I did not want the divorce, but long, long story. I thought we had the best marriage in the world for really, really until we committed our lives to Christ. I committed my life to Christ in 1999, and my wife at the time she committed her life in 2003, I think, something around there. And it was interesting is from that point forward, our marriage got more and more difficult, which really just kind of speaks to the spiritual warfare involved in it. But prior to that time, I just let her have her way, because if I objected to anything, it became just a really difficult issue. And I thought I was being the most loving husband on the planet. I mean, I was practically breaking my arm, patting myself on the back, because I was just, I was really kind of playing like a martyr in this process. And I thought I was being the most godly husband that existed. And because I was allowing this stuff to happen and really not confronting anything that really needed to be confronted, because if I did, it seemed to drive a wedge between us. And so I said, well, boy, I got to make sure I do everything I can to maintain this false sense of peace in our relationship, because I certainly don't want a divorce, because I know that doesn't honor God. And so that was, I really realized through that process that it took me a long, long time to come to a place of understanding that my marriage was actually an idol in my relationship, because it was keeping me from actually doing what God was telling me to do through Scripture and just through what the Holy Spirit was whispering to me about really standing up and leading in a God-honoring way in our relationship. And I was so afraid of rejection, and that's what ultimately this all came from or stemmed from. And that kept me in this place of trying to maintain this false peace, and it was just totally fear-based. And as a result, it led to a great deal of destruction in our lives. And it was really unfair to my wife at the time, because I wasn't even giving her practice on how to handle that conflict. And so we just kind of put a happy face on our marriage and went on. But the more it went on and the more I had counsel in my life, speaking into my life, because I thought I was absolutely going crazy. And because it was really shifting my theology through this process, and I was realizing, man, I have kind of bought into these lies that the church has been I believe, kind of feeding over the years, just some subtle things that I don't think are totally true. And as a result, it led to a great deal of destruction in our marriage.
You know, I find this interesting, Jim, because as I, you know, people can go to jimlangbook.com and learn more about your website, but you're a coach. You coach leaders and men and I mean, but you're a well-known coach, and I don't know. I guess you would assume that a guy like Jim Lang, he's a coach, a corporate, you know, settings, and I mean, just got it going on, right? So most people, I think, are confused by what they see and what they know. How did you? Was that hard to get a grip on? I mean, knowing what you do for a living and then thinking, wow, how did I miss this?
Well, for sure. And I mean, it really was because the first book I wrote was about leadership. And, you know, here I am, this leadership guy, and I'm doing all this stuff, but in my home, I was not leading very well at all. And it was just kind of the segmented area of my life that I was just not doing a good job, and it was just I was deceived. I was totally deceived, and it's amazing to me how we can go along. I mean, I think all of us. I think when we get to heaven, I think we're going to look back and say, "Man, did I miss that?" I think all of us have that. And it seems like Tony, the more I grow in Christ, the more I realize I don't have a clue about stuff. I start seeing stuff in a fresh way, and I'm like, "How did I miss that?" And this was one of those areas, you know, that the Bible talks about these strongholds that we have in our life. And typically those strongholds are built from past wounds in our life. And I had a wound that I discovered through, it was probably 5-6 years ago, in which I was actually starting a lengthy fast. And I was really seeking God about, God, why do I allow this stuff to happen with my wife at the time? And it was amazing, Tony. He took me back in time to this thing that happened my sophomore year in high school with my very first girlfriend. And it was like I relived this moment. And it was a monumental moment in my life that I had totally forgotten about. And he whispered in my ear that this is where the fear of rejection came upon me. And it was where I tried to make a move with her sexually. And she was absolutely beautiful. And the conversation in my head was, man, what is she doing with me? She could have anyone in the school. And I mean, that's how little I felt of myself. And I made a move with her, and she stopped me. And I was embarrassed. And the next morning, or next day, she called me up and broke up with me. And I was utterly crushed. And the good news is, I didn't know Jesus at the time, but God used that in my life to keep me from making a move sexually with another woman. And so He used that for good in my life, but it was very painful. And then when I met my wife at the time, you know, before she was my wife, we started having sex fairly early in the relationship. And so this like fear of rejection, it would have been that much harder for me to have that relationship break because we were that much closer. And by the way, I'm not trying to advocate for having sex before marriage at all here. I was not a believer. I didn't, you know, I'm not trying to say that at all. That was a huge, huge mistake that the enemy used really against me through the process. But that it really got revealed to me, and that was kind of the open door that allowed this to happen in my life.
I find it very interesting that we get to travel down a road for a certain amount of miles before we turn around and clearly see the path we rode on. But when we're going through it, it just has a completely different meaning in our minds. And, you know, I just think God has a great sense of humor because, well, He just makes us, He allows us to do what we do, and then how He circles back to show us what not to do and why. And it's not like He's slapping us around with it. We kind of slap ourselves around with the fact that we didn't see it in the beginning. But you would never be able to teach us properly unless you, unfortunately, went through the things that you went through to get to there. So it's kind of a blessing in disguise. It just doesn't feel that way on the journey.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, in 2 Corinthians 1, it tells us that, you know, that we are to share with others the comfort that we have received through the trials and tribulations that we've gone through. And so God actually uses this in our life, and I believe gives us an anointing for it. if we partner with him in the process. And I mean, I'm just telling you, Tony, everywhere I go, everywhere I turn, I'll talk to men who I don't even know. And before I know it, they're saying, I don't know why I'm telling you this. And they start telling me about this stuff going on in their marriage. And it happens all the time. And I believe it's an absolute epidemic today in our culture, and especially in the church, where men are really getting abused. But it's really difficult for anyone to, you know, for churches don't talk about it. No one really talks about it. So it's kind of like this hidden thing. And for a man to be in an abusive relationship, it's like, where can he go to actually talk about this without being ridiculed? And it's a very lonely place to be. And I see it in men all over the place. I mean, all over.
Yeah. Yeah. I have two boys, and my youngest son, I had a conversation with him about a year ago. And I said to him, you know, when you go to bed at night, you're the only one that knows what's really on your mind, what you're thinking about. And most of the time, men will never talk to anybody else about that. He's stored up and is carried around with them. And it's very unhealthy to do that. So you have to make sure that the decisions that you make during the day, good, bad, or otherwise, you release them at the end of the day. And understand you made a mistake, or it was a blessing that God allowed you to do something else. But you have to release it, or, well, it just becomes second nature, and it just becomes okay. And it's as bad as the relationships that you see that people are abused in one way or another. And men, I think it's worse because, you know, we're supposed to be big and strong and not let anything happen to, you know, hurt us. But I think it's really bad because I think we struggle more so. Women are finally coming out with it, but it's a long way to go for men just because of what they perceive society says they're supposed to be like. So let's talk about the book. You said that the book was born out of struggles and some lies you believe and stuff like that. But what are some of the other deceptions that can keep someone in an unhealthy place that you've seen along the way here?
Well, I've got a whole bunch of them that I could go through. I'm just going to, you know, let you know about three, four, or five of them here. Right? But one of them, I think, is this lie. I've seen it. Matter of fact, I was speaking at a church recently, and on their wall, they actually had it printed on their wall, and I see it and hear it all the time, that the Bible can be summarized in four words: love God, love people, or love God, love others, right? And it makes sense why people would use that, because Jesus says the first and greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is just like it: love others as yourself. And so love God, love others. He said all the law of the prophets hang on these two commands. So in other words, you could say the whole Bible is built on that, right? Love God, love others. However, we forget that in that verse, he says love others as yourself. We forget the as yourself piece. And so, you know, when we're out there saying that love God, love others is what the Bible's all about and what we're charged with as believers, I believe that is a huge deception that takes men off course. And this is the reason why, is because Jesus says in that verse that we're to love others as we love ourselves. So in other words, we can only love others to the extent that we love ourselves. And so really, if we're going to use that cute little four-word thing or something like that, we should be, the Bible can be summarized in six words: love God, love yourself, love others, in that order. Because if we're not loving ourselves, we cannot love others. And it's physically impossible, according to Jesus. And what was happening in my relationship is that I was allowing stuff to happen in my life, and I was afraid to say, hey, I'm not allowing this anymore. And as a result, even though I thought I was being overly loving, I couldn't be loving because I wasn't showing love to myself. And that was a wake-up call for me. And I see so many men in that place and so many leaders in that place that they think that, man, they're just to take all the brunt of it and just kind of, you know, play the martyr. But that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus, you know, snuck off. You know, all through Scripture, we think, well, he just allowed this bad stuff to happen to him. Well, he did when he went to the cross, but that's because the Lord was telling him to go there. But if you read throughout the Gospels, he snuck away when crowds were coming to get him, and he actually took care of himself. He snuck away in the middle of healing people so he could go off and be with the Lord, just to be by himself with the Lord. You know, and and to rejuvenate himself. He showed love to himself all the time. And the other one is we believe this lie that says, you know, God's first, family second, work is third, and or we're third, or anything like that. Well, again, that ties into the same exact thing, the notion that we as men are last. But that can't be the case. There has to be self-care in this. And obviously, we can take that self-care too far into a narcissistic place, and that's not what I'm talking about here. But if we don't take care of ourselves, we're not going to be able to love the way Jesus wants us to love. And, you know, and the other one is, you know, Jesus talks about, you know, if you get slapped on the cheek, turn the other cheek and let him slap you on this one. And we think that that's the way we're to behave. But that's just not true. You know, that in context, if you actually see that, you know, like in Proverbs, there's Proverbs 22:3 says, a wise person sees danger and seeks refuge. And, you know, they see danger in the distance and they seek refuge. And, you know, Jesus slipping away for danger, just what I was talking about. How about Joseph in the dream? Right after Jesus is born, he has a dream in which the Lord wakes him up and says, flee from Bethlehem. So it was all these things about avoiding danger. And so it's important for us to understand that that's okay. And that's actually what the Lord is telling us to do, unless he's actually speaking to us about a situation. And then the other one is in Ephesians, where it says that we're to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And we absolutely are to do that. You know, Christ laid his life down for the church. But I think we take that to the point that saying that we are to allow ourselves to be abused in there. And that's not what it's saying, because Jesus didn't allow himself to be abused, except for when the Lord took him to the cross. And so I think we need to be careful, because we can let this stuff really lead us down a path that God's not really telling us to go down. And so and that's how the church has contributed to this. And obviously culture contributes to this whole message, you know, as well. I mean, you can't turn on a TV show without seeing, you know, where men can't lead their way out of a wet paper bag, and the women seem like the cool ones who have all the answers. And you're probably going to see that on some of the ads of the Super Bowl today too, you know? And So it's all over the place, and we get bombarded with it. And then the church tells, this is a great one, Tony. So Mother's Day, what is done for mothers on Mother's Day at church services? They're honored and glorified, and they're told about how awesome they are and all of this, right? Which they should be. Mothers are fantastic. And then get this. I was at a Mother's Day service about 3 years ago, and the pastor was preaching about how great mothers are and how much they do. And he put up a quote by Margaret Thatcher. And he said, Margaret Thatcher said, if you want something said, tell a man. If you want something done, tell a woman. And so there was like this, you know, this all this laughter in the crowd and that sort of thing. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So we can't honor women without bashing men? I mean, and this is in church. And then what happens at church service on Father's Day? What's typically the message? Men, you got to step up. You got to do more. You got to do this. So we're continually told we're not doing enough. We're not doing this. And this is in church. And so I just think that message really gets us to say that we're just not getting it done. And no one sees what we're doing. And by the way, there's many of us who need to step it up. And I'm not saying that that's not the case, but it's a difficult place to be for men today, in which it seems pretty lonely.
Yeah. Yeah, well, if you look at our world, we're all out of balance one way or another. I don't even want to bring up the word politics, but it's just our children, and I know each, you know, I'm turning 64 this year. I know each generation after mine is, you know, we all have our comments about it and the jokes about it as well. But one thing I learned when I got ill 10 years ago, maybe 12 years ago now, and one thing I learned is I had to change directions in life. And, you know, when I found the Lord 10 years ago, I decided to make myself better first before I could do better. And being an executive leadership coach that you are, and talking to men in relationship leadership as well, it's we have to look in the mirror and we have to accept who we are, what our faults are, and how we can better ourselves before we can go on and help others, before we can have the confidence that we need to know that, hey, that's not right. I need to say something. And if I say it like this, it'll be okay. But, and then you can move on. And I think that's the biggest struggle, is owning up to the fact that we have to fix ourselves. It doesn't matter what the world's saying, the neighbor's saying, or the church is saying. We have to look in the mirror as men and say, listen, I know I have this fault. I know that I don't like this about myself. I'm not sure why. I don't know what does it. We need to pray on it. We need prayer to have someone put in front of us that can explain it to us so we'll accept it. You know, third-party communication is always best, right? And so I think that's step one in becoming better as a Christian man, especially, because there's so much expected of us through the church, through our family, through our children, you know, and our jobs, and there's a lot of stress. Now, we could use that to a weakness, or we can use it to a strength. And I'm not saying I'm anywhere as close to having this conquered, but I know it's a daily battle of fixing myself before I try to discover how I can be an example to better anybody else. So what's your thoughts on fixing yourself first?
Well, that's absolutely right. I mean, I think I think leadership as a whole begins with ourselves. So as healthy as the leader is in any organization, whether that's a business or whether it's a family, is going to be key. So like in our Truth at Work groups, we work a lot on self-leadership, because everything's going to rise and fall on leadership. And nowhere is that more true than in the home. And so we have to be the ones who start here. And that's really what I focus on in here. By the way, I've got to tell you that I'm 100% for marriage. I mean, I'm 100% for marriage, but I'm also 100% for the health of those in their marriages. And my belief is that men who are struggling with this, where they're actually the passive and dealing with passivity and timidity in their marriages and afraid to really, they're walking on eggshells and all of this, is that I believe that their marriages cannot be God-honoring until they do what God's saying and they release the outcome to Him. And you see, I was trying to control the outcome, to try to say, okay, if I can just kind of keep this false peace, then I can keep this marriage together. But when we're controlling outcomes, that's an idol. And controlling outcomes is the only thing that is, only God can control outcomes. We can't. We're only to do what He tells us to do. And so that's critical. And us becoming better, like if I'm working with a man and he's talking about how terrible his wife is, or the woman in his relationship, I'm going to say, hold on, this isn't about her. This is what's God doing in you. And so we need to work on what God's saying for us to do, to be strong and to lead in this, and leave the outcome to God. And no matter what happens from there, if you're doing that, you're going to end up in a better place with God. And through that process, you're going to have a stronger relationship with the Lord. You're going to grow in your relationship with Him. You're going to grow in your skills in terms of dealing with people and all of that. So that's something that I firmly believe in, Tony.
Yeah, and it is. And a lot of times I think we just get stuck with we sell our excuses so well, you know. I mean, we're really good at it, and we probably buy our own excuse. And if a car salesman was trying to sell it to us, we would just freak out and think they were crazy. But that's probably another show altogether. Jim, I want to talk about. I mean, really, it is just crazy. But you know, the different books that you've written. Okay. And I know that I mentioned to go to Jim Lang Books, jimlangbook.com, and people can get a opportunity to get access to a bonus site. I highly recommend buying the book, and you can buy the book on Amazon and learn from the book. And guys, look, if you buy the book, step out, buy two books. Because I guarantee you there's some man in your life that you know at work, a neighbor, Bible study, or just a friend down the street that's going to need this book. And this isn't a book that you want to read once. You want to read it more than once, because as life goes on, our situations change, and we sometimes revert back to doing the same thing wrong, but in a different way. So this would be a good guide to follow. Is this a book we could use as men as a Bible study? Or a small group?
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. I've got some men who are doing that. And And this book is resonating with people out there. It actually became a number one bestseller on Amazon. And so there is a definite need for this out there, and because it's a message that not many are talking about. And I can promise you, if you read this, it's going to speak to you in here. And even if you may not be struggling with this a whole lot, I believe it's going to be helpful in your marriage. And I've actually had women read this who said it's helped them tremendously as well, where the roles were reversed a little bit, and even where they aren't. And so it's been something that has resonated with a lot of people, men and women out there, though it's primarily written for men. And the bonus site's going to have a lot of great tools that you can actually put into practice right away to help improve the relationships in your life. And you can get that bonus site for free just because of listening to this podcast. You can actually go out there, and without even buying the book, I'm giving you access to the bonus site. So feel free to do that at jimlangbook.com. And that's L-A-N-G-E. Well, yeah, I think we have both spellings that it goes there, but L-A-N-G-E book.com.
Yeah. And Jim, unfortunately, we run out of time quickly on the show, but I have a couple more questions, and if I have to run over, I'm going to run over. What's the next book coming out? I'm sure you're already writing it.
I am actually not writing it right now. Because I'm swamped right now with people who want help in their relationships right now. And I think my next book, I don't know when it's coming out, but I think it may have to do with navigating divorce as a Christian, because I've kind of come to the conclusion that we do a pretty good job of in the church of shooting our own wounded, and just kind of walking people through the divorce process and doing it in a healthy, God-honoring way. And that's a whole nother topic. And again, I'm not trying to advocate for divorce here at all, because I'm not a believer in divorce. However, sometimes I believe it is necessary. And actually, God got divorced. He divorced Israel. It's mentioned several times in Scripture that he talks about that. And so in Isaiah and Jeremiah, and even in Hosea, he talks about that. But that he only did it for the purpose of restoration. And so I think that's, that's his heart. And so anyway, that could be the next book, but it just depends on what God says to me. But right now, I'm not writing anything.
Well, and I just want people to know, I know you, Jim, and I've interviewed you, I think this is the third, maybe fourth time over the years, and you're not someone that's against church, or you're not trying to put the church down in their teachings. But what it is, is there's a way of understanding the Bible, interpreting the Bible 100 different ways, and we all read it and we come up with our own analogy of what it means. And then there's a way of understanding what the Lord is telling you through the trials that you go through in life. And sometimes it is a divorce. And, hey, I was married four times and 20 years later before I found the Lord. And, would I change the way I did it? No, because of where I'm at right now, I'd be afraid to miss that opportunity again. So it's not about
that,
but it's more about being open with your spouse and knowing what's expected from you as a man to sit down and have conversation with your wife and work things out so that, like you said, a lot of times a man is doing things because he thinks that's the right thing to do, and he's losing the respect of his spouse because of it. And, we just think we're trying to do the right thing, right? So there's a fine line there. And it's always important to educate yourself, and the happy wife, happy life deception could be just the tool that gets you to understand the value. You don't have to be divorced or going through a struggle. You just have to be willing to read the book, because you don't know why or how it's going to help you or somebody that you know.
And I will tell you, this is a quick read, and at the end of it, you'll have a blueprint that you can utilize, and some of it might be helpful, some of it may not be, but it's going to be a blueprint that can help you in the relationships in your life. I guarantee it.
So before we go, Jim, I'd like to get a piece of advice for our listeners. And if we want to target men today, I'm all for it, because I need all the help I can get. But what's a piece of information that you can leave behind for them to think about this year that can make something better, or a better way in their life, or just a better tip, or just something? What's something that you can leave for us to better ourselves for in 2020?
Well, I'll tell you this, that I think everything points back to our relationship with the Lord. And God has been speaking to me a lot lately. I've been really busy, especially over about the last 3 months. And my word for the year, last year, was rest. That God was really trying to teach me how to operate from a position of rest in Him. And God was revealing some great things to me until about September, October. And all of a sudden, it's like the wheels fell off that truck. And I have kind of diverted off that path. And He's really pressing into me about that right now. And I've been talking a lot lately about just the fact that if I can lean into that and our relationship with God and intimacy with God, and I think on the last time we talked about the fact that our intimacy with God leads to greater obedience, which leads to a greater filling of the Holy Spirit. And so the fruit of the Spirit, you know, including self-control, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, you know, all of those fruit come out of the only thing that we can do is seek God with all our hearts. And so in the midst of the busyness, that's what God is calling me to right now. And I believe if we can all heed that call, it's going to help us in every area of our life, including in our relationships and with our spouse, with our kids, with our, you know, people in the workplace and everywhere. And but most often, more than that, our relationship with the Lord. And it'll help the fruit of the Spirit come out more in our lives and help us to make a bigger impact on those around us, be a bigger light.
Mm. Well, Jim, it's always a pleasure catching up with you, seeing what you're doing, how the Lord is working in your life to be an example and a light to other men out there. And I'm just a big follower of yours. I hope everyone will go to jimlangbook.com. And look, guys, I don't say this all the time, but if you buy this book and you don't like it, I want you to email me, info@toughtalkradionetwork.com. I'll buy the book back off you. That's how strongly I feel about men should take the minute to read this book. And housewives out there, spouses, if you're buying the book for your husband, please be gentle with it, okay? Because you know how he is. He isn't going to read it unless he knows it's his idea, and I'm sure you're smart enough to figure out how to make that happen. Jim, thanks so much for your time today. I feel blessed to be able to keep in touch with you and keep learning more from you. So thank you.
Tony, thank you so much. We'd love to be on anytime, and many blessings to you. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jim. Folks, we're going to take a short break. I'm going to wrap up this show. We'll be right back.
Do you know a family fighting cancer? The Jest Foundation nonprofit was founded right here in Katy, Texas, by cancer survivor Michelle Perzan, whose vision is to assist those currently fighting by providing grants to help support family needs, whether spiritually, emotionally, or financially. Michelle and her family know all too well that there comes a time when the day-to-day needs we take for granted become impossible. Jest Foundation has been able to bless 100% of the applications submitted, and now they need your help. Find out more by going to JestFoundation.org.
You have been listening to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com for more information.